Welcome to Arise Life, a community of believers being equipped, empowered, and released into their destiny. For more information, go to ariselife.org or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
So as you guys remember, we've been going through the life of Joseph. Now, I've got a question for you. All right. Okay, not you. You're not like this. But what are some things we hear people say, either it disqualifies them or gives them a pass? How do I want to say this? Like, you can't expect anything from me because of...
I'm sick,
okay? I get a pass. What else? What else do we use to get a pass? Huh?
Busy.
Too much going on. What else?
Sleep.
Lack of sleep.
They weren't raised right.
Bad parents. All right, what else?
Incapable.
Unable, fewer letters. What else?
Flaky.
I am flaky. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to take that one further. They're flaky, right? Like, I can't because of them. Yeah, what else? What?
Too old.
Come on.
Depressed.
Too young. Come on. I heard depressed.
Uneducated.
Uneducated. Not too emotional. Anybody want to take the opposite end?
Unstable.
Insensitive. Like, what?
Prideful.
Proud. Anybody want to take the opposite of that? Worthless. Yeah, I'd go with that.
Not enough.
Average. Not enough what? Like, what kind of things do we have not enough of that we're say, therefore I can't?
Energy.
Finance.
Courage.
Skill. Courage. Time? Yeah. There we go. What was that?
Faith.
All right, let's stop there. We've run out of space. Okay. I'm going to tell you something. You ready? That's your idol. An idol is anything you ask before you say yes to Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? God says go do, and you're like, I can't speak. I have a stutter. Moses. I can't. I'm a dumb fisherman. Peter. I can't. I'm married to Sarah. Abraham. I can't. I'm married to Abraham. I can't because I have a bunch of brothers who throw me in a pit and sold me into slavery. By the way, I think Joseph wins. Can I just say this? There is a reason why, if you look at the life of Joseph, what happens? Joseph is betrayed by his own brothers and sold for silver, right? He is sent to Egypt. Where did Jesus go? Egypt. What happens to him? He's rejected. He's scorned. He had no loveliness that we would consider him, that we would respect him, value him. But watch what happens is we watch in this that there's so much of Joseph's story that we see up in Jesus because it says Jesus was, we do not have a high priest who is unable to relate to, empathize with our brokenness because he was tested in every way as we are. And it's funny, he was tested like Joseph. So I'm going to say Joseph's like the supreme level, right? This is the boss level, okay? So I'm just going to tell you right now, I need you to get your little idol out, your little God, your little, you know, tiki dancer on the dashboard that you check with before you say yes to Jesus. Because Joseph kicks yours butt. Joseph, if he didn't take the excuse, then what excuse have we? Now, here's the problem. You can take your excuse, but you'll die in prison. You can take your excuse, but you're going to die a slave. But I don't know about y'all, but I'm done. I'm done with listening to little idols who keep me from saying yes to Jesus. All right. That was the intro. Lock the doors. There's going to be a blood offering. No. All right, now stay with me. So we've got Joseph. Joseph, we talked about this before. Who here, you feel like you have a call of God on your life? You have something, some dream in your heart that you feel like God gave you. It might be little, might be big. Okay. Joseph had that, right? I'm going to be a leader of my family, right? The vision of them bowing down at his feet. And so what does he think that looks like? What do you think Joseph thought that would look like? Them serving him, right? Doesn't work out for him, right? So what happens? He ends up a slave in Potiphar's house where he serves at the lowest level with excellence, with an amazing, I've got to tell you, I promise you, if he didn't have an amazing attitude, there was nothing going on for him. Anybody? Right? He had an amazing attitude. He wasn't, everybody hates me, right?
That's right?
I'm sorry, you don't get promoted when you look like that.
That's right.
So what happens? He gets promoted, and as a result, everything in Potiphar's house thrives. Everything under his care thrives. And what does that get him? Thrown into prison, right? It gets him a false accusation. Listen, Jesus actually promised you, if you follow him, you will be slandered. He promised that. You didn't see that in the terms and conditions at the bottom of your salvation packet? Did you miss that? Did you have somebody say, everything will be amazing. Everything will be wonderful.
Okay, y'all.
I told you that.
This is from our week, okay? So this is what we've been hashing out. So I was laying pine straw this week, and I came to think. I was like, wow, people live this little lives with no dreams, and it's like actually really good for them.
Like, what do you mean?
And I was like, you know, everything hard I've gone through in my life was because I've dreamed so big. And I was like, I'm going to stand up on Sunday and I'm going to tell them, if you can help it, do not dream.
And she wasn't being facetious.
Live a small, mediocre life. Please, do not dream. Do you like my message?
Some people are like, where do I sign up?
And I told Peter, I came back into the house and I go, Peter, I am so sorry.
She meant this, by the way. She really did.
I'm like, I'm so sorry I dragged you into all of this. You could have lived your beautiful little life in Kentucky.
She said, you were happy. I had no dream. I just was like...
just working a little job. I mean, he was just, you know, doing his little life. And I'm like, okay, we're going for the nations. And he's like, okay, let's do it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so, so sorry. Like, I should have just left you be. And what did you say?
I said, gird yourself up, little girl. You're about to go for a ride. I said, that's a lie. I said, A, I was miserable. Henry David Thoreau put it this way. Most men live lives of what? Quiet desperation, mediocrity, blah. And their despair is low-key, but so is their joy. If you want great joy, you must risk greatly. Yeah. If you want great joy, you must be willing to risk great pain. Listen, and I said, no, I was miserable. I said, I didn't even know how miserable I was. I said, no, and here's the reason why you cannot not dream, because you are a dream. You're a dream in the heart of God. God looked through eternity and he said, I need an Andre. I need a Joseph. I need a Natalia. I need a Mark. I need every one of you by name. He formed you around the diamond of the calling that he has put in your heart. And but say with me, here's the problem. When you and I hear that about calling and about dream, we immediately fantasize about a certain activity. True? Right? It's going to be a certain amount of money, a certain amount of acclaim. I will achieve a certain this, that, and the other thing. And how did that work out for Joseph? Not so good. Here's why. Watch what happens with Joseph. Joseph goes in, this Joseph too. Joseph, we go into, he goes into Potiphar's house at the lowest level, serves as a slave with the heart of a king. He's promoted to become king and everybody thrives under him. He's put into prison, falsely accused. What happens? He comes in and every single time it says he had favor and the Lord, they could see that the Lord's hand was on him. He comes in, he serves with the heart of a king, but acts at the level of a slave, and he's promoted to authority over all and everyone thrives under him. He's brought into Pharaoh's house. He serves Pharaoh with the heart of a slave, I mean with the heart of a king, and yet then he is promoted over all and everyone thrives under him. We'll see at the end of the story. His brothers come to him. He serves them. And they say, we'll come under you. And therefore, they end up flourishing and prospering. See, the dream of God for Joseph was not that he would accomplish things. You notice his original dream had nothing to do with Egypt or world power. What it has to do with the dream of God is that Joseph would be a servant who serves so well that he can lead. And therefore, everyone under him prospers. That's why Paul said it's on the foundation of the apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. That's on the foundation. In other words, we serve, we lead from the bottom, not from the top. And when he does that, he walks, that is his identity, is the dream of God. That the activity is the automatic result. But we get hung up on what it's going to look like. And when is it going to look like? And how is it going to look like?
And I will only show up when it looks like that.
And therefore, these idols will disempower you. These idols will take it out of your grasp because it ain't going to look like what you think. Because it ain't about you. Because the dream of God that God has for you isn't about you. It's about what God will do through you to others. And if the dream you have is about you, it's too small.
You'll have to go to jail.
And not pass go. Not collect $200. Because here's the deal. What God knows is God says, do you want this? We've all, if you've gazed at the dream of God, you're like, I want that. Right? And what happens is we go, yes. He goes, great. Enter my school. I'm so sorry. I thought I already graduated. I thought the dream was within reach. Oh, no, the school is within reach. See, Paul talks about it this way. I'm laboring that Christ may be formed in you. Wait a minute. Don't you have Christ in you? But anybody know there's more room for growth of Jesus in me? I don't know about you, but the Jesus that spoke the worlds into existence is not quite fully formed in me yet. The very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead isn't quite manifest in me yet. So what does it take to grow into that? It's this game. It's this game. I call it either or. You guys ready? God goes, holds out two things. Would you like to promote yourself or would you like to humble yourself? That's a toughie. That one doesn't look very good. Oh! Anybody chose the promote yourself one? Yeah, works out great, doesn't it? Woo! Right? And you're like, okay, how many times do you have to fail at something before you make the right choice? Come on. See, the great thing is it really is a kindergarten lifestyle. God doesn't make it complicated. The devil makes it complicated. God makes it simple. Here, I can always tell when people have been listening to the devil because their thinking is insanely complicated. Okay, I'll give you examples from my life, not yours. Okay. My brain gets so complicated when God says, go do this, and I try to figure out how to get where he's saying to go, but without pain or sacrifice. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or, okay, I'll do it, but then everybody will think nice thoughts about me. Anybody? You're like trying to figure out how to game the system so everybody... Okay, I got a buddy who recently, his wife stepped out on him hardcore. And then she went to everybody that he worked with and told them that he had cheated on her. Put it on blast. Now, what do you want to do at this point? Okay, don't say it. It's the church. Please don't. Right? What do you want to do? You want to defend yourself? You want to go, pop, 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 pop. And I'm, praise God, my buddy was sitting with the pastor, and the pastor said, listen, the pastor who had already been met with by his wife, telling lies about him, he said, bro, I know it's lies. Hear me on this. If you will keep your mouth shut, God will defend you. But if you open your mouth and you've got ammunition, you could shoot her down today. It will not end well. And I'm so grateful my friend chose to walk that path. And do you know what? 3 years later, nobody believed a single lie she had told. But best of all, his heart was purified of bitterness. See, we hear what God has and we try to figure out how to get it on the cheap. That's where complicated thinking comes. When you try to get what God is offering on the cheap. Let me tell you, I've realized this. We have led so many people to the Lord and watched them fall away quickly. You guys, like, remember the soils? There was the one that it grew up quickly, but then what choked it out? Weeds, the cares of life. See, the cares of life are the either or. I want that, then give up that. I want that, but listen, it will cost you everything. Yes. You have won the lottery in Christ. You gain all things. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the entire kingdom, but it will cost you everything. But God knows how weak we are, so he just does it one at a time, either or. Anybody ever done that where you're a hoarder and somebody helps you with your hoarding? And they're like, keep or go, right? That's what he does. He goes, do you want the life I offer, or do you want to hold on to your ability to control how much money you make? Come on. Both? Either or. And he lets us have what we choose. And here you see Joseph's in the prison, and he is in a white-collar prison. Now, we can see it's an upgrade, right? Yeah, Joseph been praying, Lord, take me out of slavery. I want out of prison, slavery. And Jesus said, yay, you're out of slavery. Into prison. Do you think Joseph thought that was his plan? Was that his fantasy? What did he have to do in that moment? And I love it. Virginia asked me last week. She goes, are you saying we should submit to our circumstances? No, I say we submit to our God. We don't fantasize about the solutions. We submit to our God and say, God, what do you want me to know right now? And I promise you, because I've just been around this mountain enough times, God came to Joseph and said, Joseph, you remember that dream you had? And he goes, yeah. You know that I've called you to be a leader? Yeah. Do you think you could lead here in prison? No. Lord, we were talking about how to get out of prison. Because see, if he didn't vulnerably commit to showing up in prison, I worked in a prison. Listen, most people just do their time and they get worse for it. Joseph gets better. Why? Because he shows up. He goes, all right, I'm going to serve. I'm going to go low. I'm going to pay this price. I don't have an out. I'm not protecting myself. I'm not trying to figure my way out. I'm not trying to promote myself, because in due time, you will lift me up. And then he has two guys come into the prison, right? You remember? A baker and a cupbearer. The bread and the wine. The bread and the wine. Now, who here, you have heard, you have read some of the promises in Scripture and you tried to cash that check on your own time? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're like, well, it says in Scripture. Maybe if I say it enough times. Jesus, you said, because you're holding out on me. the baker and the cupbearer. And he gives, and they both have dreams. They're weird. And Joseph hears the voice of God to interpret them. Now, I'm about to whack you guys. Okay. Masha's advocating for y'all. Joseph is later asked by Pharaoh. He said, can you interpret my dream? Joseph says this. Interpretations are from? Okay. Interpretations are from? Interpretations are from the Lord. Not from here. Not from here. Most of what is done in the name of dream interpretation in the church is New Age witchcraft, and you can copy and paste those books directly from New Age sources. Ask me how I know. I listen, there was a season of my life I was on the edge of the new age when I got into the church and I saw the exact same books with Christian titles and I was like, what are you talking about? You want to go to a book instead of to Jesus for this interpretation. Amen. You want an excuse to listen to a book instead of listen to the Holy Spirit in you. Be glad Masha asked me to go jump. But what does he do? He is able to hear God. Do you know what will undermine your ability to hear God more than anything else? Knowledge and disappointment. You nailed it. We will divert ourselves to knowledge rather than trusting God. We will divert ourselves into the techniques of man rather than leaning on God because of disappointment. Right? Now, disappointment is I want it. Do you think Joseph had a little bit of disappointment in his life? Do you think he had a little more disappointment than you?
No.
Masha's advocating for you again. She said no. Y'all ain't playing at the Joseph level. I'm sorry. I promise you what he experienced was physical abuse and worse as a slave. I promise you he faced things. Please hear me on this. Again, he is a symbol of Jesus. He's a symbol. But what does he do? He keeps taking baby steps of trust in that space. Baby steps of trust. What does he do? Listen, we all want to jump to the end. When we try to jump to the end, we will be disappointed. But when we take baby steps, we will go from glory to glory. Baby steps of trust. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. And the only way we'll do that if we have what? The joy set before us. Jesus said, Hebrews says, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. And so here he is. He's sitting with these guys, and he hears the voice of the Father, the Father's heart of love for these two guys. Notice, to serve them with no point for himself. What is the dream of God in Joseph? To serve with the heart of a king so that they might flourish. And he's so sad. He goes, I'm sorry, baker buddy. 3 days from now, you will be dead. Your body will be broken. He said to the wine steward, but in 3 days, you will be restored by the blood of the Lamb. Now, I have a question. You're Joseph. The cupbearer is literally, it was almost like the role of prime minister. That's why when Nehemiah became cupbearer to the king, it's like the prime minister. You have the king's ear. He trusts you more than anybody else because you literally have his life in your hands. You're the taste tester. And he goes, and he said, and what do you think Joseph is thinking? You're Joseph. You just helped out the guy who's at the right hand of the king. You're sitting in prison directly under the throne. What do you think you're thinking would be a good thing?
I'm as good as free.
I'm as good as free. You owe me one. What? Put in a good word for me. He said, don't forget me. And then 2 years passed. What do you think happens to Joseph's heart in this? Let me map Joseph's heart for you, okay? This is time. This is trust and hope. which, by the way, trust and hope go together. You can't hope without trust, and you won't have hope without trust and all that. All right, you guys ready? Woo-hoo, Baker! I mean, everything happens exactly as he said. The guy's restored. Boo! Right? Anybody been there?
Yeah.
Anybody been down in the pit?
Yeah.
Anybody been down in the pit? David talks about this. He says, I envy what Masha said. I envy the wicked. It looks like everything works out for them. I should try that path. He said, Psalm 40, right? Down in the pit, but he heard my cry.
Yeah.
See, there comes a point when I have to choose between my fantasies of my promotion or trusting in God. Not my will, but yours be done, O God. And this moment right here, this Gethsemane moment, this moment down in the pit where you're like, nothing that worked out the way I have planned. And God goes, so what you gonna do? I guess I have to trust you. Anybody been in that place? Ma! But you haven't been trustworthy. Here's a question. Is God trustworthy? If God doesn't come through for you and me the way we expect, who is he at fault? You have to decide that in your heart. It's not a feeling. Anybody been in the pit? You know you ain't having good feelings. True? In that moment, it said, Lord, all of my ability, my techniques, all the ways that I have manipulated aren't working. I'm laying them down. I lay them down at the foot of the cross. Now, I can tell you, Joseph passed through this because of what we see on the other side of this. Joseph passed through this and he said, okay, if I'm going to live out my days in this prison, I trust you, Lord. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep serving with the heart of a king, that everybody would flourish under me. Give you an example. You guys ready? Make it real. People have left this body going out with gang signs flying, and it has embittered my heart. And you know what God has said to me? He said, so you're going to let what other people did make it so you can't show up and love the people who do show up? Keeping it real. Keeping it real. The same thing. Are you going to let what was done to you by the people who are no longer with you rob you of the ability to trust and love the people that are with you? Listen, the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, I have a theory that the fruits of the Spirit are in descending order. Love is the top, right? God is love. The very bottom, the base of them all is self-control. He didn't say others control. At any point, your joy, your hope is in the hands of somebody else other than the Lord, you will be completely freaking out of your mind. But that's why self-control is simply my ability to give whole control to Holy Spirit. That's all self-control is good for. But what do we see him? He shows up and Pharaoh has a dream. See, here's the deal. God is more concerned about you becoming who he made you to be than you are. He is more concerned about showering the world with his love and goodness through you than you are. But he's not interested in being your PR manager for somebody who wants to be self-focused and self-obsessed and self-promoting. But he will put his glory on display through you. And what happens is after 2 years, now I've got another theory. You know why I think it took 2 years for the guy to go, oh, wait, that it took 2 years for Pharaoh to have a dream? You want to take a guess what my theory is?
Yes.
What was the delay?
The fulfillment of time.
The fulfillment of time. What else do you think might have delayed the process?
Allowed him to go through
the process. His heart. Yeah, the process. I would submit there was something God was working on in his heart that wasn't ready. See, God loves you too much to put you in a position where the grace and the glory of God would kill you and crush you. Joseph was not ready to be prime minister. Anybody here thought you were ready? Grab the brass ring. only to get hit in the head with it on the way back down? No. The thing is, everybody always thinks they're ready about here or here. True? Every single one of us, we overestimate our readiness. But God, the world will promote you above. It says, I love the great thing. It says one of the business principles is you are promoted to your level of incompetence. Anybody have a boss like that? They got promoted to, you're like, you are a really good salesman. That doesn't make you any good at being a manager, right? In the kingdom, you are promoted when you're set up to thrive, not the other way around. The world promotes you to the level of your failure. The king, our king, promotes you when you're ready to thrive. I submit the only reason why it was 2 years is Joseph was still in training. I also submit it could have gone faster. I think he did well, but I think he had some stuff to work through. And he comes into the king, and Pharaoh looks at him and goes, I had this dream. Can you interpret? And he says, interpretations belong to the Lord. Listen, if Joseph had any desire to toot his horn, this would be the time. Yeah. Right? The guy who can set me free. Yeah, I'm your man. Right? Something died in the pit. Something died in the prison. My need to be awesome on my terms. Rather, my job is to bring glory to the one who made me. They belong to the Lord. If I'm able, I will serve you, Pharaoh, with the heart of a king. Because that's what I do. That's who I am. And if God empowers me to give you what you ask, then I'll do that. Wow. Pharaoh saw what Potiphar saw, what the administrator of the prison saw. He saw the favor of God illuminating the nature, the calling, the character of God in Joseph. And he wanted some. Why? How do I know this? Because Pharaoh, who is probably the most cynical man on planet Earth, he's seen it all. He has it all. Everybody trying to work him. That's why he had that prison. He'd get ticked off people, just send him to prison, right? Here he is. He goes. When Joseph tells him the dream, he said, you know, what would you do? Joseph gives him a strategy, hands it to him. Now, listen, I'm Joseph. I'm holding my strategy back. Why? You need to need me. I got smarts here, buddy. No. He hands it to him freely. He said, I'd do this if I were you. Serves with the heart of a king. Pharaoh goes, well, only an idiot would have thought, standing in Joseph's shoes, that God, that the king would promote him. Yeah. True? Joseph and Pharaoh goes, then you're my man. Now stay with me. What do you think the number one dream after getting released from prison is for Joseph? To go home. By saying yes to Pharaoh, he could never go home. I can never go home. I can never go home. My best good is to go home. And if I say yes to the call of God, I can never go home. We see it as, for him, it was a death. Do you think if he'd been fantasizing about going home, how much it hurt for him to say yes? Because he might have been prime minister, but he was now the Pharaoh's slave. This isn't the way I planned it. But I'm going to continue to serve with the heart of a king so that I can, that all those under me have flourished. And in fact, that's exactly what happens. It's exactly what happens. We're going to get to this next week or the week after, but we see the same thing work out with his brothers. But I want to say for you right now, do you know every single one of those things you put on the board? I promise you, had to die in Joseph. Yes. So that he could, in due season, be lifted up. And even when he was lifted up, he had to, at the very end, let go of the one thing that he had considered above all others to be good in his life. Yes. you guys remember last week, what was the Garden of Eden? Was even Adam saying, I am the one who determines what's good in my life. And Joseph had to let go of the greatest good in his life. He said, because remember, the dream he has is of his family. He had to let go the very dream. The promise of God in his life had to die for him to be walk in who he'd been called to be and eventually receive the fulfillment. So here's my question for each of us. What is I got three questions for you. What is the promise of God for you? What is the dream he has for you? I'll give you a hint. The only way Joseph could find out what the dream was by watching how other people responded to the grace given him. He couldn't see it for himself. The Lord has put his finger on me recently. He said, Peter, you've heard a lot of things from me directly, but now you need to hear something from other people. So I began to ask people, what is the grace of God flowing through me look like for you? The mirrors in my life. How is God blessed? Not the fantasies in my head of how awesome I am, but who is God flowing through me to you look like? What is that? The dream of God. The second is, which of those idols for you are disempowering the voice of God in your life? Which one of those idols that is stopping you from being able to say yes to God in the hard places when he's saying either or? Don't worry about your neighbor. They got their own. And the third one is, what does it look like for you to trust God again? To trust him and hope in him when you're facing hopelessness and despair? What does it look like? Because I'll promise you, you can't live a life of quiet desperation. You have to live a life on purpose. His purpose for you. If we could have the worship team come up. The promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. All the promises, but they're not checks we get to cash on our own terms. They are the gift of God in due season. And we don't get to determine the order in which they come. Many of us have said, God, I'll trust you when, I'll trust you if. Part of the death is saying, not on my terms, but on yours. God, what do you want me to know about all of this? And now what do you want me to do? What do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do? If we could stand as we worship him, let us offer to him truly our all.
Pharaoh, you will not conquer me because I belong to Jesus. I will not be pushed back. I will not shrink back. If that's your heart crying out right now, just start saying that to Jesus right now, that I will not shrink back. I will not sit down. Ha! Thank you, Jesus, that you are with me wherever I am. Wherever I am, in prison or in slavery or whatever the situation is in my life, I am powerful because you are with me. Because you are with me, you empower me, you hold my hand, you protect me, you provide for me. Your favor is on me because you are with me in whatever space I'm in. I feel like there's an invitation. I really felt strongly just this thing that if you have shrunk back just in disappointment and discouragement and hopelessness, and you've said, I will not put myself out there again. I will not dream again. I will not risk. I will just stay quiet. I will stay in my little little spot in my little prison cell. Just, and I will not dream. I will not expand. I will not take territory. I will not go forward because I'm just so scared of the pain. Oh, I feel like pain is going to be there one way or another. Ah, there is pain in following your dreams, but it's being real. You can be alive and real. The only way you can stay in your, without dreaming, without being alive, you have to medicate. And I feel like a lot of us have been medicating and numbing because it's just too painful to live with no purpose. It's too painful to live without a dream. And so that's where drugs come in. That's where porn comes in. That's where all these things that numb come in. Because it's saying that I will just live without a dream. I will just survive. Ha! And not risk. And not so that not to experience pain. And I feel like right now there is an invitation. There is an altar. I'm just going to do an altar call right now. Ha! If you need to come down, and it can be like TV and entertainment and food and all that good stuff. Whatever we used to numb. And we've just been saying, I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want to be disappointed anymore. And I will just numb. I will just survive for the rest of my life. And if that's been you and you don't want to live like that anymore, and you just want to say to Jesus, Jesus, I will step out. I will dream again. It will hurt, but I'm up for it. I'm up for it. I'm up for it. I'm laying down my medications. Just come and bring them to the altar. Just come and bring things to the altar and just lay them down. Just say, Jesus, I let go. I let go of determining my life. I let go of not dreaming anymore. I'm waking up. I'm waking up. I'm waking up. Come on. 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 It's risky, but it's so good. The other way is death. The other way is death. Just come and lay down things. If, just like prophetically, come up and just say, Jesus, I'm stepping into my dreams. I'm dreaming again. I'm giving myself permission to dream again. I'm giving myself permission to just feel your heart again, to live again, to hurt with the enormity of the dreams you've put inside of us. Ah, if you feel like it's the dream, it's like you're pregnant with a dream. Come, just come up and just say, Jesus, it's hurting me how big this dream inside of my heart is. It's hurting me. The dream is hurting me. It wants to get out. Oh. Oh!
Fear you'll never conquer.
Jesus. Thank you that you, as we're just surrendering to you, as we're stepping out of our places where we've been stuck and disappointment and disillusioned and just surviving, Jesus, that you are just downloading dreams, that dreams are just rushing into people's minds right now, that creativity is being unlocked right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that this generation will dream, that this generation will dream, that their dreams will not be stolen in Jesus' name.
Says that old men will dream dreams and youth as well. This is the call. This is the sign of the kingdom, is this renewal that happens in the heart where you begin to hope, where you begin to see what God sees. You begin to see the supernatural, not just as possible, but logical in the kingdom. This is the inheritance of the saints, that we live in him. We live and move and have our being. I really, this is my dare to you this morning. God's been whispering to you over the dreams in his heart for you, over who he made you to be, the blessing he intends for you to be to those around you. I double dug dare you to share that with someone today. And even I dare you to share with others how you see the glory of God, the goodness of God flowing through them to you. That confirmation is worth gold. Guys, this is it. We cannot press into what he has for us by ourselves, but nobody can hear him for us. So I bless you to hear God and to walk with your brothers and sisters.
For more information, go to ariselife.org or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.